Hello everyone and welcome to the Sorry Meadows podcast. Before we start, I would like to wish everyone a very happy new year. 2022 is here, a new beginning for us all, but more importantly, it's our first year anniversary. That's right, we've been throwing our voice into the storm of opinions, which is the internet, for a whole year. And in celebration of that, we've looked back at 2021 and come up with a brand new annual show, The Blimpies. Here we'll be pitching the best elements of film and TV up against each other in a battle for the most prestigious award, the Sorry Meadows Blimpy. I'm your host Jack, and I'm joined by our most esteemed film critics, Mike, Reese, Melanie and Sammy. Say hello guys.
Woo!
Hello guys.
So they have ranked their favourites in a series of categories: best film, best actor, best actress, best season of TV, best episode of TV, best original song, and standout moment of the whole year. Guys, how you feeling? Excited for the reveals?
Yeah.
Jack is the only person who knows the winners so far. But I'm pretty sure I figured out three of them for definite.
Yeah,
I was going to say, do you guys have any sort of suspicions for who the
best film, best actress and best actor? I'm certain on.
I barely read the chat at the best of times, so I don't think it's fair to ask me. I barely know who the nominations are. I've just been handed this list that I've got to read out at some point, so it's all up in the air for me.
So we're all very professional here.
So I've handed everyone out digital envelopes for them to open when we announce each winner for every category. And I thought we should get started with a bang and go straight to our best film. So, as we've said, our hosts don't know the results. But, Reese, you're up first. And I'd like you to take your digital envelope and give it a little open and tell us who's gold.
Something we should probably point out first. All these categories are going to have a lot of films with big spoilers in them. So check the timestamps in the description of the episode for what films are included in each category, because there will be spoilers, so be careful.
And the nominees for best film are Spider-Man No Way Home, Zack Snyder's Justice League, No Time to Die, The Suicide Squad, Encanto, The Beta Test, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Green Knight, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Tick Tick Boom.
Woo!
Right, let's open this digital envelope.
Oops.
And the winner is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Hey!
Whoa! I did what not expect that surprise. One to happen.
Yeah, no surprise at all. We all came out of this totally in love with it. It's just it's amazing.
What a time in cinema where you can have spoilers, three actors from different eras of the same film all come together for one sort of climatic, massive, film. A film to end all films.
But that's the thing, though, right? Like people who were saying that the MCU was done after Endgame are just like, look at what we got. You know that thing that you've all been screaming for years?
Yeah,
even
you got
if
it.
You don't like one of the Spider-Mans, or, one's your favourite and you won't hear anything else, you still want this film. And it does them all justice, and by God, if the performances by the three lead Spider-Men are not, some of the best this year.
Also all the villains as well. It's a really good love letter to, all of Spider-Man. And he's, other than, the Doctor, Spider-Man's, the only character you can do this with. Because the only other character recently that we've had that many versions of in such a short time is Batman, and I just don't think it'd fit Batman to do that. This type of story wouldn't fit Christian Bale's Batman at all.
Yeah, it's way too serious, isn't it?
The thing about Spider-Man, what I thought was a success in this film, is the fact that all three portrayed the essence of Peter Parker really, really well.
Yeah.
And it was clear, although they were I'd say there were three very different characters. It was clear, with three very different backgrounds, and very different sets of villains. The core fundamentals are there. And I was really skeptical about this film. I thought it was going to be a complete mess, or they were going to knock out the park. Because it's not been that long since the last Spider-Man multiverse film, which was incredible as well. And I just think it did so much away from the whole additional Spider-Man stuff. I think most first and foremost, it's the MCU's Peter Parker's story and his like journey to get into college. There's some really horrible scenes in it that, you know, I was in tears in the cinema. It wasn't very nice. And then it I think it did everything before all the additional Spider-Man stuff really well. So at least when it came in the end, it felt earned, I guess.
I cried for 20 minutes when Andrew Garfield showed up. 20 whole minutes.
I think the end where the solution comes into play, where everyone has to forget who Peter Parker is almost more devastating than the end of Infinity War, because we knew as the audience there was a part two coming for Infinity War. We knew it was, you know, they were just giving us kind of a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Whereas we have, I have Spider-Man. No idea what's going to go on.
You don't even want bad horrifying things to happen to Spider-Man.
Well, also,
it's too nice.
Even more horrifying is that one of the avenues is the Spunk, and that is a horror.
She's awful. Like, everyone wanted to see this, because like, they didn't announce before that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire were in it. We all just kind of knew.
I didn't. I doubted you for a lot. You were like convinced that they were doing.
There was so
multiverse.
Many pictures everywhere.
I think Andrew Garfield really sold it on his press tour that he wasn't in it.
I stayed away because I wasn't watching the Tick Tick Boom press tour because I didn't watch that film until like right at the end of last year. And for so long I stayed away from that first trailer of No Way Home. And then once the second trailer came out, I never saw it. I still haven't seen it because I wanted to go into this film as blind as I possibly could. So the second any of you guys started talking about it in the chat and they're like, oh, look at these new promo posters or whatever, I just immediately continued ignoring the chat. whilst I know, Mike, that you kind of went into it and you were saying beforehand that you were like, you were convinced that it was going to happen, and rightly so, because it did. I didn't expect the multiple Spider-Man film, and so it kind of just blew when that first portal opens. I was just like, oh boy, it's my boy. Little
I feel
Andrew.
Like for the majority of us who were watching the trailers though and seeing the promo posters and all that sort of stuff, I think the sort of mystery of like, well, they brought back these old villains, come
they've
got to bring
back
the other Spider-Mans, was like the main marketing sort of push to get so many people.
But also,
they were
it's easy to forget there is a lot more to this film than just the Spider-Man as well. Because
oh, of course, yeah. They don't
like,
show up
that,
till
like the very
sort of halfway, two thirds in, right?
Yeah,
the villains are all great. Tom Holland's side cast are the best they've been yet. Like everyone's incredible in it. Like it's got everything you want from like the best MCU films and the best Spider-Man films. So like, yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, Ned and MJ are great as well. Like you said,
in a pandemic as well.
Before I was watching this film, I also always thought that, you know, if they put Andrew and Toby in this, it's going to be a cameo or something like shorter.
No, they in it properly.
You would like see them through like a portal
actual
and then wave
characters.
And then that'd be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually
and my
in
favorite
it
thing,
and they're in it properly.
My favorite thing about this film is that people love Andrew Garfield now.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't when his film
came
out.
When me and Mike
yeah,
and
they're all
defend
hypocrites.
Amazing Spider-Man, well, and Reese for years.
We're the real fans.
Anyway, let's move on. What an incredible film to start us off with our awards. But we're now going to move on to Best Actor of the Year. So, Melanie, if you would like to take your envelope.
The nominees for Best Actor are Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, and Spider-Man, No Way Home. Tom Holland, Spider-Man No Way Home. Daniel Craig, No Time to Die. Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye. Zach Guilford, Midnight Mass. Ollie Alexander, It's a Sin. Dev Patel, The Green Knight. Jim Cummings, The Beta Test. Daniel Kaluuya, Judas and the Black Messiah. And Simu Liu, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Woo!
And
go on! That guy.
Winner is what a surprise! It's Andrew Garfield. And No Way Home.
Exactly who I thought would win. But I want to make it clear this isn't just because he's incredible in No Way Home. He's also fantastic in Tick, Tick, Boom.
He's so good in Tick, Tick, Boom.
I think you're all wrong. He won this for his performance on the Tick, Tick, Boom press tour, where he consistently denied that he was in the film.
Can you imagine doing a press tour for a film and then everyone asking you about not that film?
Yeah.
I would get genuinely annoyed. Like, I'm here to promote this film. And, like, he's such a nice guy that he clearly wasn't, like, pissed off about it or anything. He was loving it.
He was loving it.
Because he's just such a nice guy.
What's happened to him for the last 10 years is that he's received constant ridicule for his performance as Spider-Man. Now, all of a sudden, everywhere he goes, people are begging for him to come back. He must be having the best year ever.
Aww. I'm so glad for him. When he started, when he did Spider-Man the first, you know, time, he wasn't that big yet, right? Like, he wasn't such a big actor yet. And now...
He's already been in The Social Network, though. So.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a side character. Like, he wasn't as big as he is now. Like, now most people know his name, and when he was in The Social Network, he was also just starting out to become bigger. So now I feel like he didn't even need to be like in No Way Home. He could have easily just been at No. It's over.
The thing is, I think
up in No Way Home, we still would have nominated him because of how good.
Yeah,
he was.
I think
because
he would have won this just based on Tick, Tick, Boom.
Honestly,
I mean, I love him for Spider-Man. I think
they put the clips at the end of the real guy that he's playing, and he like mimics him like perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, he's such a good,
so good
performer. Like, he puts his whole body into a performance, which is why he's such a good Spider-Man.
But saying that, being said, like, the emotion he's able to convey with like a twitch of his eyes, or like, you know, just a look that he gives someone, like that look. Again, spoilers for No Way Home, that he gives MJ when he catches her and he's standing on the ground and holding her. And he just, it's such a, like, you can, because he'd had that bit before where he's saying that he got, like, rageful and wasn't pulling his punches anymore. And that look says to me, oh my God, I saved her, you know, and that can be Gwen or MJ. But in his heart, it's almost like I can go back to being Spider-Man again, like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, as opposed to just like this more vigilante type, because his films, you know, I think they kind of start to explore like a darker side of Spider-Man, which I don't think we often see, like where he is initially running around like looking for the mugger.
Yeah, nobody ever buys those types of comic.
But I liked that aspect of it, and I like the idea that this film redeemed him, and he conveyed all of that to me in like just that look. That's what I got out of it. And I like the idea that he goes back to his universe and he's got this weight, not completely lifted, because he'll always feel guilty, but like, he's not beating himself up about the guilt. He's just like released himself, and I really love, and that was in like a 2 second scene. That's what I got out of like a 2 second scene with him in. So like, I was just stoked to have him in that film for like 40 minutes.
Another interesting thing about Andrew Garfield is he looks kind of like Sammy. just a little bit like Sammy.
Comparison I'm never going to shut down. Although I don't believe it, I'm never going to shut it down.
Didn't I say that as well?
He also like really loves lasagna.
And hates Mondays, right?
I bet he never heard that before.
There's always something about like watching like a master at his craft. And again, Tick, Tick, Boom, I wasn't that fond of the film overall, but his performance is fantastic. Especially when you go like after you watch the like the side by sides and what he gets the performance from. It's staggering how well he plays it.
Also, watching it, you would think
who knew.
Yeah, also watching it, you'd think that Andrew Garfield is like a trained musical theatre actor.
That's what I thought. I kind of just assumed he was musical theatre based from that film.
No background. He started, he prepared it, voice trained over the last year or so.
Good for him.
I love that the first song in the film is like, I'm 30 and time is running out. And then Andrew Garfield's like 38. And it's like, I'm going to learn to sing.
Nice.
Right, Andrew Garfield's 38. Jesus. 38. He looks like 25.
He's taken a glug out the fountain of youth, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining. He's a good looking chap.
Glug out the fountain of youth.
Put that in a promotional tweet for the episode. to find out which actor has a glug out of the fountain of youth, tune into Sorry Meadows, The Blimpies.
Well, put it this way, he's only 8 years younger than Tobey Maguire, and one's held up a bit better.
I think Tobey Maguire
looks
pretty
great.
But Andrew Garfield looks exactly the same.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's
Which is why,
bad.
When the leaked images came out, that VFX company were like, here's why they're so like flawlessly photoshopped. It's because this is actually a photo of Andrew Garfield from his films, and they compared it to a shot of film side by side, and were so convinced it was because he hadn't aged at all.
Yeah, but that was debunked pretty quickly.
It was all Photoshop.
People couldn't wait to tell us he was in the film.
Anyway, moving on to Best Actress. Mike, would you like to announce the nominees?
Hey, so, and the nominees for Best Actress are... Kate Siegel for Midnight Mass, Florence Pugh for Black Widow and Hawkeye, Hailee Steinfeld for Hawkeye, Arcane and Dickinson, Hannah Waddingham for Ted Lasso, Elizabeth Olsen for WandaVision, Leah Seydoux for No Time to Die, Catherine Newton for Map of Tiny Perfect Things, Rebecca Hall for The Night House, Jodie Comer for The Last Duel, and the 14th Doctor Lydia West for It's a Sin.
I thought we said no spoilers.
And the winner
after all
is,
those spoilers.
What a surprise, it's Hailee Steinfeld for Hawkeye, Arcane, and Dickinson.
I didn't give her gold, how could this happen?
Three massive TV shows.
Mike rigged
all
it.
In the same month. Which is really impressive. I didn't see Dickinson, but research is really good in it. But God, wasn't she incredible in Hawkeye?
Oh,
she
was so very good.
Just phenomenal.
Jack, you don't get to participate in this conversation.
Jack had glowing reviews of her in the Hawkeye episode that is coming out.
Oh, because I've only heard Jack's thoughts on the first.
She was just amazing. She was easily the highlight of that show for me. And like for a fan casting that I made years ago and then actually happened and then came out and she was amazing was just like, yeah, great thing to see. She was just amazing in it. Very good. The exact performance I expected from her. And that's the best of the year. But she was also really good in Arcane, which was a bloody excellent show, which I didn't expect at all because it's based off of League of Legends.
I'd say that that's the like underdog of the year, like the unexpected. Holy shit, that's good.
Because no one expected it, and then all of a sudden it gets 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like, hold on. Uh-huh. And since that is excellent.
I mean, it does have some of the cringiest lines, like, oh. You're in the top lane. Shut up. Stop linking it to League of Legends. Just that got on my nerve.
Is it?
But if you've got to have someone, deliver those cringy lines, why not have Hailee Steinfeld with
well,
the best?
Well, she's been bubbling up for quite a while, isn't she? Because was it True Grit? She got nominated for an Academy Award, and that was what,
at 14.
12 years ago now.
And so, now all this time later, you know, nominated for an even better award.
She's great in. Edge of 17? I know you really like. And yeah, I like the fact that you casted this so long ago, and finally Kevin Feige went, maybe I should listen to Mike.
In fact, they wrote the role for her and everything, and then phoned her and said, "Do you want it?" And like the fact that this was her dream role as well. And like,
I don't know if this is a criticism of the show. If it is, I'm sorry, but the show shouldn't have been called Hawkeye. Should have been called Kate Bishop, because I think. She's the standout character, and it's her story.
Yeah, but she is Hawkeye. She becomes Hawkeye by the end. And, like, it's like how Ant-Man's called Ant-Man, even though he doesn't start the film as Ant-Man.
Should have done what they did for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where it was Captain America and the Winter Soldier afterwards.
Hawkeye
just like Hawkeye, and then it changes to Hawkeye.
Or just Hawkeye. Just Hawkeye.
We all know it's time for Jason Hawkeye to retire.
So, if you've listened to the Hawkeye episode, you'll know what that means.
So.
Yeah, and you people speak about her because.
And she had the best like the best chemistry of the year with the person who. Spoiler, it was our runner-up for Best Actress, Florence Pugh. They were just so good together.
Ah, oh, so good.
You met the dog.
With Lucky the pizza dog.
Runner up.
I'm curious, who was third place? Just because you said it was, I know we haven't gone into this in the other categories, but you said it was a particularly strong category going in. And I agree, out of the performances I'd seen.
Katie Siegel from Midnight Mass.
I've not seen Midnight Mass.
Nice, very good.
That everybody, so sarcastic,
everybody in Midnight Mass was just
that
fantastic.
That sounded so sarcastic. He's like, nice.
No!
For me, I thought her best performance was...
I nominated her.
Dickinson. There's something about Dickinson. Well, there's been a sort of revival for period dramas recently.
Bridgerton.
You know, Bridgerton, Little Women. What came out a few years ago? The Favourite. Yeah, and it's like originally these films would have like a sense of grandeur to them, but now they're a lot more submersive. The dialogue's a bit wittier, and it's more like, well, this is what people probably would actually have felt like back there. And it's like, do you know? I've said this before on other episodes. Blackadder goes forth. There's always a sense that Blackadder is like he's almost from the future, and he knows how bad the war is. And there's a sense of, because there are a few scenes in series three. Where
I think you can just be in World War One and know how bad the war is.
But but when she looks into the future a little bit and sees like her influence on the world, and like honestly, she's fantastic in it, and she plays. A contemporary teenager, basically contemporary adult now, back then in those times, and it just works so well. And her and Sue, the main relationship in the story, it's so well done. And have you seen any Dickinson?
I haven't seen Dickinson. I can imagine though that she would probably be amazing in it. Not just because she's Hayley Steinfeld and she's amazing in everything, but because it's the longest role she's ever had. So after all this time, she must have like got so familiar with it.
Series 1 and 2 are good. Series 3, they knock it out of the park. And she's the main reason for that. I'd go and watch it. And of course, Arcane as well. But really talented actress. It won't be the first time she wins this award.
Three like really highly praised TV shows to come out in the same month. It's just like unprecedented.
Yeah.
I'm furious that Charlie's Angels was so bad that her sequel got cancelled.
Yeah, so no
Hayley
Steinfeld
well.
And Noah Centineo in Charlie's Angels anymore.
They'll be in a film together one day.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, we're not getting any more Bumblebee films as well. So.
Mm. When Atom Smasher met Hawkeye 2 with that DC Marvel crossover.
I don't think I want her to meet Noah because I think it might ruin my opinion of Noah.
Kind of rude actor he's ever had to act alongside, and this isn't it. She's like one of the best actors working currently.
Anyway, moving on to the next category, the best season of TV in 2021. Ooh. Sammy, would you like to announce the nominations?
And the nominations for best season of TV are It's a Sin, Midnight Mass, Ted Lasso, Hawkeye, Loki, Cobra Kai, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, Transformers, War for Cybertron Kingdom, Castlevania, and Doctor Who.
He had to pause to work out what the acronym was.
I paused because on the doc, the Transformers one is cut off by like the next box, so I had to gloss over it and then go back up and figure out.
Now we should specify all of those are the latest seasons that have come out, except for Cobra Kai, because Cobra Kai dropped two seasons last year. This is season 3 of Cobra Kai. We get onto the list.
And the winner for the best season of TV 2021 is Hawkeye.
What a surprise.
Bloody surprise, mate. Yeah, Hawkeye was bloody excellent. It was everything I wanted. Christmas, dog, Hayley Steinfeld,
fun.
Bow and arrow, the MCU.
Laughers, chemistry, Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah. So a not good. Horribly CGI'd Wilson Fisk.
Yeah, thank God. Just normal looking Vincent D'Onofrio.
This is just what a fantastic little bit of television, right?
Yeah,
my favorite MCU show so far,
yeah,
for sure.
Same.
Well, the Disney Plus, I will specify. I think Daredevil is still...
No, I think Iron Fist is...
Melanie, you hush your mouth!
Well, this show specifically made Iron Fist canon, so...
Yeah!
Did all of the Disney Plus shows come out last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. To top all of them, it's done very well, because I think every single of the Disney Plus shows for the MCU, I think, have been very good.
Yeah, even I think the weaker not ones counting are still what great. If, they got stronger with me for every single one.
Yeah.
So who knows what Moon Knight's going to do?
Yeah.
Well, we get to look at Oscar Isaac for a lot of it, so... You know.
To be fair, though, Mike, they did make Hawkeye for you specifically, so I don't know if it could get much better.
They took
than
everything
that.
I like, put it in a blender, tipped it out, and all of a sudden there was a Hawkeye Blu-ray, and they were like, oh, where'd this come from?
What happens if you adjust the contrast on the opening title sequence, all the letters rearranged to say, you're welcome, Mike, love, Kevin.
Yeah, I've got a theory.
That's a fun little Easter egg.
In Spider-Man No Way Home, instead of thank you to Avi Arad, it says thank you, Mike.
They made a film there. And a TV show specifically for me and brought them out on the same day.
But I mean, like, so although we've harped on about, I say harped on like a bad thing, no, we've raved about Hayley and to a lesser degree Florence Pugh's performance in this, but also I feel like Jeremy Renner, he was up for best actor. He was fantastic in this, but also outside of the performances, the story was really cool. The antagonists were very cool. The action was some of the best I've seen in the MCU for years, probably since Winter Soldier.
And I think Jason Hawkeye has always been like very ridiculed. Like, he's always been a character that, even though he's always been very
he's
likeable,
been the bow and arrow
haven't
dude.
Given him enough for people to love him, and they finally like gave him a lot of character with this.
Yeah.
I'm just... It was everything I wanted out of this show as well. I know Jack wasn't that keen on the first couple of episodes. I don't know if his opinion has swayed because I wasn't in the Hawkeye recording.
I think it's a very good show.
Did those two final episodes, like, retrospectively improve the preceding ones for you? Or do you
I would have to go
like
back
it?
And rewatch it. But the final two episodes were excellent.
They were the best two of the show for me as well.
When you said flawless then, I thought you were going to start saying Florence Pugh, but like, strange. Florence.
Florence.
It is worth mentioning that this was initially tied with another show for joint first, but then there was a retallying where we redistributed the bronze.
I have a pretty solid guess on what it was.
Go on.
But it was Loki.
It was not.
It's a sin.
What a bloody golden age of television.
It was originally tied for first.
I can't believe that the writer of that is going to go on to write Doctor Who.
Yeah. And I can't believe one of the stars is going to be the 14th Doctor.
And the other's going to be the companion.
What we do now is bring the composer back.
You actually go to find out that Doctor Who and this show is actually the same universe.
I hope not. I think it's sin deserves as much respect as it can get.
Yeah.
When I finish rewatching Doctor
Who. And if you put anything in Doctor Who in it, respect will just plummet because
It's a Sin made me lay down in bed and cry for a solid 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just like in the dark by myself.
I couldn't stop watching and it was torture because it was really hard to watch.
Yeah, how can you binge that? I watched one episode a week.
Because it was brilliant, Melanie.
Yeah, I know, but my heart couldn't have taken that.
It just makes you get pissed off with people, doesn't it? Fuck, why were people so horrible?
Anyway, the great thing about seasons of TV is what makes them up. The individual components. The best TV episodes of the year 2021. Reese, why don't you tell us the nominations for the best TV episodes?
Spoiler alert,
year?
All 10 are Legends of Tomorrow.
They could be, honestly. They could. Might as well be.
Honestly, the good, the bad, and the cuddly.
Best episode of television of 2022. The nominations are Man City, Ted Lasso, The Woodworm Men, Ghosts, The Quinceañero, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, Village of the Angels, Doctor Who, Journey into Mystery, Loki, Rick Amorai Jack, Rick and Morty, Book 7, Book of Revelation, Midnight Mass, December 19, Cobra Kai, You Don't Deserve My Blood, Castlevania, Don't Touch That Dial, WandaVision. And the winner is... The Quinceañero, High School Musical, The Musical.
Oh, wow!
Wow! So
that's, I didn't see that coming at all. I thought the...
And to celebrate tonight, all the way from Los Angeles.
It's the whole cast.
Is Joe Serafini.
High School Musical, The Musical series, was, for the most of us, the biggest, like, when it comes to the TV shows, the biggest surprise of, holy crap, that's good.
Yeah.
And then... And it was summified by when it was summified. Is that
summified?
That a word?
I summarized? Like it. It should Cemented. Be a word.
What? When Seb starts singing the climb, and yeah. I remember we were all on the Zoom,
we were watching
on,
it together.
On the
reaction,
chat, and
the reaction
like...
to that moment was unreal. Like we cheered. Like
yeah.
that was. There, it's a and show. It's,
I was on... yelling at like 11 p.m. at and night.
It was a show based on High School Musical and Beauty and the Beast. But that moment is the best use of their Disney license. It's not just the song they use, it's the moment they build it in. Because this whole episode is like Carlos's Quinceañero. And the whole episode, they're building up, like, what is Seb going to do as his gift? And the whole season, they're doing too much conflict between the two. Like, we mentioned this in the High School Musical episode. But here, like, you get an incredible moment with them together. And every character gets a moment to shine. This is where Miss Jen starts going nuts.
Yeah, this is where EJ becomes
a D mind. EJ becomes incredible. Like this is like EJ was already.
Gina has her little
turning point. Gina has
depressed
song.
A whole
song. Not a song.
But just
it's
the start. It's the start of Gina and EJ.
But she also
as well.
Has the bit where she opens up to EJ and EJ's like, I haven't even turned on the camera yet. And it's like,
yeah,
oh,
and
EJ,
she was just like, oh,
EJ.
It's also Mr. Mazzara being. Just a nice guy in this episode for one of the first times. Like it's just it's such a standout episode for every character.
Yeah.
And it's the episode of the season that I think most moves away from Nina and Ricky. And it really helps it.
And it's just a really nice celebration of like Carlos, who's just always been a great character.
Yes.
And then Sebastian singing the climb. I mean.
And it just takes us away from the competition for an episode and just lets these kids like be kids hanging out.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible episode. And like quite dark in tone as well for like a happy birthday episode of a kids show.
Suicide
the suicide plot.
It's just Gina. She's making it dark. She's the only one. Everybody else is having a party and she's like
EJ saves her.
EJ saves her. Yep. She even says, EJ, you saved me. I can't believe this one.
We're not laughing about an actual suicide plot, by the way.
No, we're not.
She doesn't want to do
really one.
She doesn't want to commit.
It just very much is presented as one.
Yeah.
I'm not
I think it's telling
we're
how.
Literally gushing over it.
Yeah. Like, but like, we, even like a week into this show, we were like, we're still kind of watching it as a laugh. But like, I think it's proof of how much of a surprise this show was to all of us. That look at the competition on the episodes list that this is up against, and the
like
fact that Mark it out as a winner, like
and it won
all of it. Yeah, like how many of these moments basically broke like the internet when they happened? Like I remember, do you remember the Rick and Morty finale came out? People were like, "What? Oh my god!"
Do you remember Journey into Mystery
about?
With Loki?
Yeah,
five Lokis together for a whole episode.
Yeah, and then. He sings.
This is one.
He
and
sings
that's just
Hannah Montana,
how good this
and we're
show
all
is.
Like, "This is the best thing ever."
But it's not just that moment, and we will obviously later. It will be pointed out that that moment was a big deal for us, but the whole episode is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what are the components of a High School Musical episode? Right. No, it's the tunes. It's the audible joy that we get from music and vocals. So, Melanie, why don't you tell us what the nominees are for the best original songs of 2021 in film and TV?
I will do that, Jack. Best nominees for best original song are 3090, Tick Tick Boom, The Rose Song, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, Save the City, Hawkeye,
Woo!
Therapy, Tick Tick Boom, 96,000 in the Heights. You Ain't Seen Nothing. High School Musical, the musical, the series. Paciencia y Fe, In the Heights. Burn, Butcher, Burn, The Witcher. Enemy, Arcane. And What Else Can I Do, Encanto. And the winner is 3090, Tick Tick Boom. Woo! What a Woo! Banger.
Yeah, an excellent song.
An absolute excellent song. And oh, look, it's my silver and bronze, Therapy and Burn, Butcher, Burn as runner-ups.
Yeah, that's exactly what I gave my silver and bronze. I'm glad that we've given it to at least one of the two. And obviously, we'll talk more about 3090. And I know that 3090 is mainly an Andrew Garfield song, but I'm glad it's getting an award. But, like, this is the only Vanessa Hudgens representation on the Blimpies this year. Because, unfortunately, my campaign to get her onto the nominations for Tick, Tick, Boom and Princess Switch didn't work. But she's a very good singer in this film.
Yeah.
And she's on 3090. So is Andrew Garfield. He's bloody excellent. 3090, Bob, a pretty miserable song.
Yeah, for 3090 is, like... Oh, I love putting it on. It's just like, it's such a banger. But then the lyrics
you stop and
everything.
Listen to the lyrics. You're like,
also, like,
oh my god, I'm
really...
running out of time. I'm not going to do anything worthwhile before
but
I
like,
die.
It really resonates. I'm like getting closer to 30. I'm going to be closer to 30 this year than I am to 20.
You already are.
Mike!
I'm the same age as me, I can say it.
Yeah, but you don't need to give her an existential crisis.
At least Melanie,
no, you're even closer.
At least Melanie, only by a day. At least we know now that we've already got our plans for our 30th birthday, because we can go and karaoke this.
Yes. Absolutely.
3026.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I think it's twofold, isn't it? Because it's he starts by blaming himself for being 30. And then he's like, wait, no, it's 1990, so it doesn't matter how long I live. It's like, my life isn't going to come to much anyway, because you're not going to reach that future point.
It also feels like very, like, it's a much sadder song when you remember that the guy that wrote it did die in his 30s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was right that he actually was running out of time.
Yeah, and my favorite bit that comes up is when he goes into the fairy tales. Yeah, he talks about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
I wasn't expecting that. I think it's quite an emotive part for me.
I haven't seen. I think, like, because a musical like has the chance to grip you like straight away if it chooses the right song to start the film on. And this is like, why don't we just start with our song? Joy crying, you're not going to stop.
Yeah, oh my god. Ooh. Yeah.
There's also another you've already mentioned Therapy. I absolutely adore Therapy.
And also, like, just not even just the song, just like the performance.
The
by
performance.
Andy Garfield,
like the
I really thought you were going to say not just the song, but Therapy in general, everyone. You know.
If it's singing with Vanessa Hudgens, I think Therapy is for me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite, yeah. I'm not. I didn't quite like it when I was watching it in the film because it's intercut with the scene with.
No, but I love that.
Ship. Yeah, but I prefer it as just the song as it on its
Yeah,
own.
But I love that because essentially the musical Tick Tick Boom, right? Even like the original one that Jonathan Larson did was about him writing Superbia or whatever is that what it's called?
Because aren't these songs that he wrote?
So, like, I love that
as a musical about his life.
Exactly, yeah. It's like an autobiographical musical that he wrote. So I love that, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda intercut sort of the songs
with bits
scenes.
Of life.
Yeah, with scenes from his life.
Like, which bits of his life he wrote it about.
Yeah.
Absolute travesty. Because it might have won, to be honest. Absolute travesty that the song from Superbia isn't on the soundtrack.
The main song, like the really, why isn't that on there?
And you know what the beautiful thing about songs are and music? They just give you a moment, you know, a spiritual moment. And there were so many moments in 2021 that we thought were very special in TV and film. So I'm going to now announce our nominations for the best moments in TV and film. The nominations are... Breaking the Central Finite Curve, Rick and Morty. No Time to Die. The Big Moment. No Way Home.
We're allowed to say the spoilers.
No Time to Die, James Dies.
Wait, what?
Not that what? Big Moment.
No Way Home, Final Battle. Omni-Man versus Guardians of the Globe, Invincible. Roman and Tage Fly High, Fast and Furious. Roy hugging Jamie, Ted Lasso. Silver Sebastian's Gift to Carlos. Oh my god. High School Musical, the musical, the show?
The series.
That's just the climb,
by the way, that moment.
I have no idea what MSMTMSTS means.
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Of course. It won an award, Jack.
The podcast,
we mentioned
the
it by name several times.
Yeah, I mentally already. Chewed out. The moment it came up, I was like, I checked out.
That's not an unfair.
Snyder's Cut, Justice League. The conclusion to No Time to Die, apparently this is in here twice. The return of Russell T. Davis to Doctor Who.
Woo!
And the winner is... No Way Home, Final Battle.
Oh yeah, of course.
What is
our favourite film of the year each, and also the winner of the best film also got the best moment of the year because it happened.
I think we should specify that the reason this made it in isn't just because the final battle's amazing, it's because all of us picked a different No Way Home moment.
But they all happened to be
in the final battle or close to the final battle. Like, Sammy, you picked Andrew Garfield showing up. I picked Andrew Garfield catching MJ because I just thought that was incredible.
I think I just put No Way Home, maybe, if I even did.
I like that. My favourite moment in that film is
it's sort of what races, but then it's the swinging after where he says, I always wanted brothers, and then they just like look at each other and they just sort of run out and start swinging. I'm just like, my precious baby!
That one shot of them all doing their very specific Spider-Man swing pose and landing
as they land
is just incredible.
Mm. That showed up on my on my TikTok feed from like multiple accounts like for so long, but I always just like, no, I'm gonna watch the entire thing.
That conversation between the three of them, where they're like discussing their own movies, is just incredible. Like, Andrew Garfield cracks Tobey Maguire's back, and then they joke about the rhino. Then they ask Tobey Maguire about his weird webs.
I love when they do the meme of the pointing.
Yeah, twice. Yeah.
The pointy meme.
And also, just Tobey Maguire calling Andrew Garfield amazing like
five times in a row.
Because he is!
What also stands out to me about this final battle is that it's very Spider-Man in that they don't come together. Like, this is the first time we've had these three Spider-Men together on screen, and it's not necessarily to fight these villains, to take them down, it's to cure them and help them. Yeah, and that's so Spider-Man. Like, they're going into this saying, we want every single one of these villains to come out of this better than we went in. We don't want them to come out
of it
dead or in prison.
Every Spider-Man gets to do enough sort of substantial Spider-Man stuff, like with the swinging and the webs and like the acrobatics and stuff. But also all of the villains fully feel don't restricted by like the environment. They all get their like little moment to shine. I think Sandman's cracking in it. Electro's obviously the more heavy hitter.
And that's why Rhino wasn't in this film, because he wouldn't have fit on that scaffold.
The Rhino!
The Rhino!
Oh, this is such a bad...
That was my standout moment of film. Just what? That.
Me and Mike both doing the Rhino.
It's a shame, like, it's 2022 now.
I think Lizard got the short end of the battle, but I like all the others a lot more.
Because he was punched by a ghost, that's why.
Electro gets lots of really cool stuff. He has that really awesome chat with Andrew Garfield afterwards. Doc Ock kind of... I always thought he went, I thought originally, I was like, wait, he comes to fight, but he doesn't come to fight, because he just stops Electro, and then he doesn't attack Tobey Maguire, so it turns out he's just chill. Fantastic Green Goblin Oh, yeah, but you say that, but when Electro goes, oh, I liked you better before, and zaps him, I kind of just assumed in the moment that that turned him evil again. But it didn't. It just didn't. But and then you have that fantastic showdown with Goblin.
There are so many wrestling moves in that fight between Tom Holland and Green Goblin. In fact, this whole movie is just full of wrestling moves between those two. I don't know what that's about.
Spider-Man beats up an old man.
And then that last moment of the battle with Hawkeye. Hawkeye? when Hawkeye shows up.
I don't think Hawkeye would stand a chance.
You know when the skies open and Hawkeye falls through, right? Yeah.
Hawkeye's starting to come through and I can't stop him. Yeah, you're right, Jack.
All the Hawkeyes know who you are.
That moment where everyone forgets Peter is just, it's so sad. And then the music with like just a really sad version of Tom Holland's theme.
But the thing is, I genuinely thought he was, when he was like building up to go back to that cafe and talk to MJ and Ned, I genuinely thought he was going to do it. And then I, as soon as he stepped in the door, I was like, oh no, he's going to be alone for the rest of his life.
He'll find a way home.
That was the spell. You may never have friends again.
The next trilogy is going to be called Apartment Come In, Far From Apartment, and No Way Apartment.
And no, the thing is,
the next one is, we're not Spider-Man, we're not the Spunk, don't worry.
I was expecting Peter to just ask MJ on a date, just like start afresh.
That's a weird thing to do, to go into a coffee shop, order a coffee.
Weird. Hey, don't flirt with the employees.
Never do that. Never do that in real life.
Yeah, don't flirt with any of the employees, please.
What were the other?
We did discuss that it would be weird that we were wondering if pictures and stuff like that would stay. So pictures, would MJ, which MJ just have?
I just find
this
it like
the
really
guy
funny.
I've got all the nudes off on my phone.
I also find it really funny where they're like at the, they're like those two are at Aunt May's funeral. Oh yeah, we love Aunt May. Wait, whose aunt was she? No idea.
No, that's why her grave didn't say aunt on it. It just said May Park. I also want to point out, just for the sake of the category, James Bond dying in No Time to Die was in there twice. Wasn't supposed to be. Instead of one of those, The cookie dip from Ghosts is supposed to be on that list because it's an incredible moment. Dunk it again.
Dunk it again.
Probably the funniest moment in that whole show.
Yeah.
I still need to watch season 3 of Ghosts.
Get on it.
Yeah, watch
now,
it.
Now, it's nuts that Ghosts even make the list.
I didn't nominate it for best season just because I don't think it was their best season.
No, yeah.
So they ghosted our show, that's why. Well, that's it. 2021.
No, it's not. You forgot the most important category.
What's that?
We have a special award, a special blimpy, that we will be giving out every single year. I'm taking over because Jack's clearly forgotten. We have a special blimpy that we'll be giving out every year. It's the most important one of the show.
Yeah.
If we were to erase every blimpy except for one, this is the award that we will keep. It's a special every year. When the pandemic's over, we will be expecting the winners to show up to collect their award. And this award is one that means a lot to us, to the movie world in general. It's the award for Best Noah Centineo. Naturally, the winner this year will be going to Noah Centineo.
It's such a shame that the fan forum on the Noah Centineo fan site is dead and it's just full of Hilary Duff wishing him happy birthday.
Every single person on that fan forum for the last 100 messages is us with fake names.
When he says us, he doesn't mean us five specifically.
Me and Reese.
Me, you, Reese, and some other people.
Hey, me.
I was warned by the admin. I was warned by the admin to not
Reese. Reese, that admin, that was me.
What? No! No!
Yes!
Amazing! That's incredible! I apologised to you and everything!
You did!
Look, we all voted.
It was me. I was the admin. I wrote, guys, this is a very serious forum to be found in. Can you please take it serious?
Yeah, but then you wrote a... Wait, are you the first one? Because the thing is, though, it has an admin from 41 months ago.
No, but...
No, I scrolled back to find out what the original admin's name was. No, I scrolled back and found out what the original admin's name was, and I typed it in because you can put whatever name you want.
Because one thing that's changed now is that the names don't have any colours anymore, which helped. That's interesting.
Ah.
Well, he deserves it. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about Noah Centineo. Is that we watched him by accident. It wasn't. We weren't meant to watch him, really.
It wasn't the
long-term plan years ago. But he's coming into his own now. And he's about to be in a Jackie Chan film and a DC film this year. 2022, he's going to explode.
Also, I think what people don't realise about Noah Centineo is that the issue with Noah Centineo isn't his acting, it's the scripts that he's often given.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very charming actor.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's his year.
Mm.
He's winning next year's Blimpy. You know.
Yeah, he'll definitely
win
Best
Actor. Winning next year's
Blimpy. I have no doubt.
He might even get another
Blimpy.
Gets to do Kung Fu.
Yeah. And next year he'll probably come get the Best Noah Centineo Blimpy.
Yeah, because we might win the competition to go and meet him.
Oh, I hope so. I can tell him about this.
Oh, so good.
Well, that's it for 2021. What an incredible year for film and television. And as we look back fondly over the past year, you can't help but get excited for what's to come in 2022. Apparently, it's this Noah guy I know nothing about. But feel free to follow us on social media. And once you've done that, go ahead and thank Spike Kappa for our amazing theme music. And from me, that's goodbye. And from Melanie...
Goodbye, everybody.
And from Sammy...
goodbye.
And goodbye from Reese.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Mike.
Hey, guys, this is the admin here.